All right. So we are in a series on talking about the kingdom of God through Jesus' parables. Parables are short illustrative stories that Jesus used to communicate truth by telling a story. He was a master storyteller, and so Jesus, this is week number four. We've looked at a number of parables where Jesus starts the parable by saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and he'll tell a story to explain this hard to grasp, hard to get a hold on thing called the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus' main message, as we've said in previous weeks, was about the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven had come into the darkness of this world, and when it came, it changed everything. God's rule, God's reign, God's kingship in our lives and in our churches and in our communities, in our families, his rule changes everything. But how do we understand the kingdom? How do we recognize it? How does the kingdom of God interact with the world? And you know, people didn't understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. They understood the Roman Empire. They knew that kingdom. But what's this kingdom of heaven thing? And how's it different? So Jesus would share these stories. And the ones we've shared so far have been relatively longer stories and some of them with even, you know, descriptions that Jesus would give that were just as long. Today's parable is very short. Matthew 13:33 says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. It's deceptively short because there's a lot of richness to this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. I am not a baker. True story. I have never made a loaf of bread in my entire life. Never made a loaf of bread. And so some of you in this room might be able to poke holes in my information today. But I warn you, I have watched a lot of YouTube videos about this. And I think I'm almost ready to start a bakery. Okay, I've got it figured out. Let's see. So yeast, all right? The yeast or the leaven that it's talking about in this story is not, you know, those little, is it Fleischmann? Those little packets of commercial yeast. It's not what Jesus is talking about. That company didn't exist when Jesus was here, right? But think sourdough starter. If any of you know how to bake sourdough bread, that is what Jesus is talking about. That was the only kind of leaven or yeast that was used. So sourdough starter. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, what sourdough starter is, it's a mixture of dough, a mixture of flour and water that contains a culture of various yeast microorganisms. Yeast is a single-celled fungus, okay? And this tiny little single-celled microorganism, along with bacteria, other single-celled organisms, They work on the flour and water to ferment it. And there's a release of carbon dioxide that happens as they're fermented. And so then that starter is put in dough, and the starter ferments the rest of the dough, causes carbon dioxide to be released in this process, and that's why dough rises, so that then it's ready to be put in the oven, baked. You got delicious bread. How am I doing, folks? You're impressed? Okay, that was my goal. All right. So it's an ooey gooey soup of living creatures that you put in your dough. Yes, I had to do it. And it causes it to ferment and causes it to rise. And the process of fermentation is wildly contagious or infectious. It spreads quickly through a batch of whatever it is you're trying to ferment, whatever you're trying to leaven. And so in the Bible, leaven is often used as a symbol of sin. It's often used as a symbol of evil and sin, okay? A number of places in the Old Testament, Israel is instructed to remove leaven, especially during Passover. We might get to that. I don't know. We'll see. But it's symbolic. Getting rid of the leaven is symbolic of repenting of sin, repenting of the things that ferment our lives in a negative sense. Jesus spoke elsewhere in the Gospels. He uses the picture of leaven in a negative sense. And he speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees, which he says is hypocrisy. Right? You get a few people living hypocritically, it spreads. Before you know it, you have a culture of people living hypocritically, pretending to be something they're not. Right? Leaven, and then he also talks about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which was about their, and it says that it was their teachings. They're teachings about trying to gain righteousness by our efforts, right? And he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod in another place, which is the love of people's praise and valuing the fear of people over the fear of God. And so all of these things are negative ways that Jesus uses the idea or the symbol of leaven. You know, we've all heard this phrase, I'm sure. One bad apple spoils a whole bunch, a whole barrel, a whole whatever, right? That when you've got this fermenting, rotting apple, it spreads through very quickly. That's the same, similar process, right? But Jesus takes this whole idea and he flips it on its head. The people are probably just like, that doesn't make sense. You're talking in a positive way about leaven. But he flips the idea on its head with this parable, and he says it's the same way with the kingdom of heaven, where the gospel is truly preached and where it is purely lived out. It is infectious, and the power of the gospel and the news about the freedom that God brings when he comes as king will spread and affect a group, a region, until everyone's life is touched. I wish we could get to that, but we can't. All right. So here are some thoughts about this picture that Jesus used. Small beginnings, large influence. When it comes to the kingdom and the way that God works, we should not underestimate the power of small beginnings. God often used the small, the insignificant, the powerless to bring about great changes. I mean, just think of a little baby born in poverty in Bethlehem. Right? Jesus speaks of the woman taking a small amount of yeast and placing it in the dough. Remember, yeast is single-celled organisms, the smallest living thing you can imagine. And yet these tiny little creatures, these tiny little growing things, the tiniest living things, are mighty enough to transform an entire ball of dough within minutes. How insignificant do we often feel in the face of the challenges of bringing change through the gospel to the places we work, to our region, to our neighborhoods, right? We think, who am I and what could I possibly accomplish? And the reality is you can't accomplish anything but King Jesus and his power on the inside of you. As you live out the kingdom in your neighborhood, in your workplace, can bring the gospel of the kingdom into someone's life through a spoken word, a smile, a generous act. When we least expect it, there's suddenly something begins to shift in the atmosphere, the places we go. I can remember moments in my, as I was growing up in my teens and in my young adult years, I can remember moments when people would speak into my life or just serve in some way or just have a conversation with me. And I remember those moments. They probably don't remember any of it. The people, you know, those interactions, they probably have no idea, no recollection. But I remember those moments that nudged me toward passionate faith in Christ, right? It was the little things, the little moments that catalyzed the work of the kingdom in my heart. I would likely not be living for Jesus and doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for each of those kingdom moments that God used in my life. Every little thing you do to love Jesus and love people matters. It's a bit of kingdom yeast that will do its work in someone's life. The yeast, the leaven, works from within, right? So the baker mixes flour and water, a dough mixture. Here we go. It's my incredible knowledge of baking, all right? Mixes together dough and water into this mixture called autolyse. It's not a rental car, but it's a word called autolyse. That's this mixture of just dough and water. And they make a little crater in the middle, and they put the sourdough in the middle, and then they fold, and they fold, and they fold, and they fold. And they bury, they hide, as Jesus uses that word, that she hid the leaven in the dough. They hide the leaven in the dough. And it starts to work from the inside out. Jesus' message was that the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is among you. He says in Luke 17, 20 to 21, he says this. It says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, or people will say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. What Jesus is doing, the transformation that his kingdom is bringing, is in the midst of this dark and evil world. God very intentionally sends his kingdom people into the midst of a broken world because the world needs fermentation. The world needs to be changed from the inside out. And God knows something about the human heart. He knows that if he just showed up, said, "My kingdom is here, you all do what I say," we would all say, "Take a hike." Right? We would rebel if God just came and said, "I'm here, do what I say, I'm the king." We would say, "You're not the boss of me." We talked about it last week, right? But instead, we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. That the kingdom, the Jesus being king in our lives, that's what Lord means. Taste and see that Jesus being king in our lives is good. We need to taste and see. And so we need to rub up against the kingdom and realize that it's the best thing that could happen to you if Jesus came and became king of your life. Then we will open our hearts to faith in Christ and making him king. So he sends us, the children of the kingdom, he sends us into the darkness of this world. She hid the leaven in 3 measures of flour. Our job is not, folks, our job is not to be some flashy, noisy, in everybody's face with a megaphone kind of ministry. But we should learn the value of hiddenness. Jesus was not sent to Rome. And he seldom even went to Jerusalem, but his ministry was in obscurity and hiddenness. He would walk the dusty roads of tiny villages and communities in Galilee, in the middle of nowhere, in hiddenness. And he was content with being obedient to the Father and faithful to his mission. When we are willing to be hidden, God will work deep, authentic things in our lives and through our lives that could never be accomplished on great platforms. But God strategically places people in unexpected places, right next to people who need the kingdom. Works slowly and quietly. Although there are moments, I'll be quick with this one, although there are moments when God does move in large revival movements, most often through history, he has worked through the slow transformation of culture, of a region, as the kingdom works its way through. We often love results-oriented achievement. We love the end product, but God seems to love the process. We want it to all happen today, and he loves to journey with us and see the transformation happen one cell at a time. So let me just say, if you're sharing your faith in your workplace and frustrated that nothing seems to be changing, or if you've been faithfully living for Jesus the best you know how before your spouse or your kids or your family, and they don't seem to notice, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't believe for a second that nothing is happening. The kingdom work that God does through your life is most often a slow process. And lastly, Yeah, I was going to do that verse, but we don't have time. It's a great one. Just don't have time. Comprehensive effect, lastly. So the woman had 3 measures of flour. That's 3. I don't know if any of you are old enough to know what a peck is. but it's a quarter of a bushel. So this is 3 measures is 3/4 of a bushel of flour, 50 pounds of flour, right? That's a big loaf of bread. Big loaf of bread. She wasn't just feeding her family. But Jesus said she hid the yeast in that massive amount of dough, and eventually it worked all the way through the dough. Sorry, I don't have time for everything I want to do here, but Western society has been so deeply impacted by the gospel and its message that most people are completely unaware how much different their world would be if the influence of Christ and his kingdom were removed from history. Right? One atheist historian, Dr. Tom Holland, not the Spider-Man guy, but the historian, Tom Holland, has written many books about the influence of Christianity on Western culture. And he points out that we would not have the modern concept of human rights, of women's rights, of the abolition of slavery if it wasn't for Christian influence. We would not have developed in science, in art, in literature, in philosophy, in economics, in education, and in healthcare if it wasn't for the influence of Christianity. The kingdom of God at work, permeating society and bringing life and wisdom. Atheist historian. Every aspect of society has been improved and transformed by the kingdom of God at work through the followers of Jesus through the centuries. Today we are facing new levels of darkness in our world. And it calls for the church to reach new levels of purity and commitment to the mission of Christ so we can once again be the agents of change that we are called to be in our culture. Interestingly, when leaven sits in a jar, when that leaven, that sourdough starter, sits in a jar, isolated, you leave it on the cupboard for a long time, it goes dormant. Still there. There's still life in it, but it goes dormant. But when you take that leaven and you once again put it into some dough that needs to be leavened, it comes alive. It comes alive. It becomes active again. And the whole process starts again. Folks, it's not our job to hide away in bunkers from the world and become dead leaven. But it's our job to be in the midst of a world that needs to be changed. Because we carry the kingdom of God at work through our lives. And the world deserves and needs kingdom people. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and those serving communion to come. We're going to transition to serving communion at this time. This is something in our, we've got a number of guests with us today, and so I just want to bring you along with us. This is something that we do once a month. We do it regularly, just not every week. But Once a month, we share around communion, around the Lord's table. If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, it doesn't matter what your church background is, you are welcome to join us at the table, so to speak. Our servers will bring the trays to you. There's two cups, one inside the other. The bottom cup has a little wafer in it. The top cup has juice. You can take it out, separate them, and hold on to them until we all have them in our hands and we'll take communion together. If you are on a journey of faith and you would say today, I'm not quite sure I'm there. I'm not quite sure that I have put my faith in Christ or that I'm ready to do that. We honor your journey today. We're glad you're here. We're glad that you're leaning in and wanting to learn. And please don't feel any pressure to take the cup as it passes by you. If you're not ready, you can let the cup, the tray go by, and no one's going to judge you. But there's no better moment than this moment right now, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus. He came for you. He loves you. And he's here this morning by his Spirit. So we're gonna hand out the emblems, and as you worship, Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 2, we read it a couple weeks ago, that we were dead, you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God has made us alive in Christ. Jesus, Son of God, born into this world, because through him, God broke into our darkness with his kingdom, with his light, with his rule and reign. Broke into our world, lived among us to show us what God is like. And then died on the cross. The Bible says that when that happened, that our sin, your sin, my sin, were put on him on the cross. That when he died, sin died there with him. Its power was broken for those who trust in Christ. Sin died there with him. And when he rose, death died. Its power was robbed. So Jesus came and he died and rose again so that we could have life. Jesus says of himself in John chapter 6, says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then a bunch of verses later, he says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Jesus was talking about participating through faith. Participating in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And on the night before he went to the cross, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus, in this moment, we hold this little wafer, this little piece of unleavened bread. We understand the power of this symbol. That Jesus, you took my sin on your body, on your flesh. You bore it to the cross and you died there. And I thank you today for the freedom that I have and the hope that I have because you took my sin on your body. We give you thanks that you went all the way to the cross, that you were pierced for our transgressions, bruised for my sin and iniquity. So we take the symbol of his broken body. Let's take it together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Jesus, we hold this cup of juice, grape juice. We thank you that your blood was spilt on that cruel cross, the ugliest, darkest moment in all of human history. God bled for us. But I thank you for the new covenant, the new family agreement written in your blood. Thank you that we have forgiveness and cleansing and wholeness because your blood was spilt. Because you died for us. So we take the emblem of your shed blood with thanks. Let's take it together, folks. Let's stand and give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life. Scripture that by his stripes we are healed. And if you happen to be in the house today, if you need healing, Jesus is present to send you home whole and well. So we invite anyone today that would like prayer to come, and the members of the Breakthrough team will pray for you. We also want to remind you that today is Soup Sunday, and as the pastor already mentioned, if you didn't bring any soup with you, you certainly are welcome to come and join with us for this time of fellowship and eats. God bless you. Have yourself a great day, and enjoy the fellowship. Yes, I certainly can. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for how you minister through our pastor today. We thank you for the word that we have heard. And Lord, we know that if we do not grow weary, we will reap a harvest. And we thank you for the many, Lord, that will come and sit in these pews and in other churches in Bathurst. They're born again, Lord. Set free. And Lord, we ask now your blessing upon the food that we're about to receive. We thank you for the hands that have prepared them. In Jesus' name.